Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Today we're just going to have fun with this message. I don't know exactly how far I'll get through with it. I don't really care. We'll pick up next week. Wherever we leave off, you can see from your notes, it's daunting. But there's so much good stuff we want to talk about today. And we just want to enjoy the presence of the Lord and just rejoice in what God is doing in our church. Today's Vision Sunday, and for those that you might be new to the church, Vision Sunday is just kind of a Sunday I like to either take the last Sunday of the year or the first Sunday of the year. Just depends upon how it kind of works out. And I just kind of speak prophetically to the body in a way that we just kind of are looking forward in what God would say to us. And this year, I feel like the Lord wanted to have us kind of see how we fit in to the vision of God. Each one of us, we're members of a body. We're all, you know, Peter says we're living stones built up into a temple. And so, you know, it's like, how does my stone fit in the temple of God? How do I fit into the vision and the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ for this church body? A lot of people say, what's your vision for the church? I've had that over and over again. You know, I've been pastoring for 25 years, so I get that at conferences and everything else. And it's like, what does it matter what my vision for the church is? What is Jesus' vision for this church? You know what I mean? That's what I want to know. What's his vision for this church? And I want to connect with his heart, his passion for this body. So years ago, the Lord gave me this as kind of our vision statement, reaching up to God. We're a very worshipful community. We don't want to hear worship leaders just play songs. We really want to worship Jesus when we are worshiping, not just singing songs. We want to be a community that reaches around one another, that this is a family, that this is a group of people that actually love one another. We want to support one another. We want to encourage one another. We want to help one another and grow together in Christ. And we want to reach out to others, that we would reach beyond our church wall out into our community, our state, our nation, and to the othermost parts of the world. I heard a story about a man who left his family-owned business in order to start his own company. And his employees one day came to him and said, why did you leave your family-run business to start a company? And he said this, I need you all because there were things lacking in my family. Successful family-owned business, but it could only grow and develop this far because there were things lacking in the family unit to where the growth of a company was hindered. And it's the same thing with you and I. You know, it doesn't matter how talented we are, how talented we and our spouse are, our little family, we need the body of Christ. We need one another because there are things lacking in my life. I need you. There are things lacking in your life. We need one another for that reason. We need the resources, the encouragement. We need the wisdom and the teaching and the strength, the counsel, the help, and the compassion that a church body has to offer. And so together as a church family, we can reach up to God. We can reach around one another, and we can reach out to others. And we can do it better as a church family than we can as individuals. Amen? And that's why God, you know, the church is Christ's idea. It's not my idea. It's not your idea. The church was God's idea. And Jesus loves the church. He loves the church so much that he died for it. And he washes it with the water of the word. He's grooming the church. He's causing us to be a beautiful bride for him, so that when he returns, that we are going to be caught up together with him, and we are going to be a gorgeous bride without spot or blemish. He's grooming us. He's purging us. He's cleansing us. He's growing us and developing us so that we might be that beautiful bride that will live through eternity with him. How exciting is that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be individuals, part of a body. Lord, collectively, Lord, that we make up what you call the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Lord, I can't even think of a greater distinction of honor than that, to be the body and the bride of Christ. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can be your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. Lord, that we can be your heart of compassion. Lord, you have made us, conformed us into your will and your image. And so, Lord, teach us and encourage us, I pray, as a church family today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start in the book of Acts, chapter 2, as our kind of our foundation passage. Whenever I think about the church and the function of the church and what we should be doing as Christians and as a church family, I kind of find myself back here, right at the beginning, at the simplicity of the infant church, just so in love with Jesus. So what did they do when they didn't have all the form and the formulas and the programs and everything else? And it says they, verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Wow. So the early church focused on these three things that God has told us to focus. They were focusing on reaching up to God, just focusing on the Lord and loving him and learning about him, knowing him through his word, and then reaching around one another, so much so that they were willing to sacrifice of their own possessions, their own comforts, their own selves, in order to reach around one another, in order to embrace one another as a church family, and reaching out to others. And of course, as the book of Acts unfolds, they reach out with missionary teams that they're sending out and offerings that they're giving to the churches that are impoverished and in persecution. And we see the church doing these three functions. So let's look at some of the many ministries of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch, and I want to look at how they each fit into the vision of the Lord for our church. And as we do this, I want you to think, as a member of this church body, and we don't have a formal membership, but you're here, and you have joined yourself to the church. You've said, you know, this is my church. You may be here as a first-time guest. And you might say, you know, what is this church all about? Wherever we are in our commitment to the Lord and to his body and to this church, how do we fit in and how can we fit in? And that's our prayer, is how can each member fit in and find a place into the body of Christ. So as we describe these different ministries, let's do it prayerful and say, Lord, how would you want to use me? Would you want to use me in a greater degree in the ministry, either in this church body or outside of this church body? We're going to be talking about a lot of the things that the Lord is doing through this church family. And there are many people that are doing many more than just one of these ministries, because usually we're on such a rotation that it actually facilitates you could do more than one ministry. Many of you here in this congregation are involved in two or maybe three, maybe even four ministries. I know Terry, right before Roger got brain cancer, she was leading the youth group. She was the head of the greeters team. She was in Sunday school teaching, and she was helping Suzette with women's ministry. And she came to me and said, my husband just got brain cancer. Of course, I knew that, you know. I mean, and it was just that fast, you know. She says, I've got to step out of all ministry, Suzette. And I looked at each other and said, how will we fill these shoes? Mm-hmm. You know, it was amazing. And so we have people like Terry and like Bea and like Regina and others that are doing several different ministries. Appreciate that so much, because it is so, so blessed to have you serving. And really, when you think about it, I mean, I don't want to just serve once a month as an usher, let's say. It's kind of like, oh, I want to serve more. I want to do more. So if your heart is like that and you're saying, you know, I want to see what the Lord might have for me to do more. You know, I know you, Mike, you just talked to Gary about maybe getting involved in Sunday school, you and Emily, into the toddler group, and that's exciting. You're going to be great in that group. So it's neat to see people, you know, serving Jesus. And I love to see that happening. My heart is not to just fill slots, and I hope you understand that. The department heads and I, we don't want to coerce anybody into ministry, because you're going to make life miserable for us. You will. Because you know what? You'll flake out, you'll forget, you won't do a good job. You won't do it with excellence and with joy in your heart. So we really want people joyfully serving the Lord, quite honestly. But as a pastor, I want to encourage you to be serving the Lord. Have something that you identify as, you know, this is my function in the body here. So let's talk about the ushers first. I just picked them just because we love the ushers. And they help us reach up to God. Their goal is to provide less distractions during the services. That's their goal. And for the most part, they do that. Now, Christmas Eve service, we did have a little fupa. Those of you that were here, the candles got lit like three or four songs before they were supposed to get lit. So the whole church was on fire for the whole worship time. We had a on fire church, and you know what? I only saw one jar with wax. I don't know how, because those little things were just filled with wax. Good thing we didn't have those old paper ones. Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. So we had those plastic ones that kind of have a cup to fulfill it. But seriously, they're here. They're kind of watching that thermostat. If it gets too cold or too hot, talk to the usher on duty. They're the ones that are supposed to be kind of watching that. Usually, or sometimes Stephanie will do it, or the sound person. But kind of the ushers are supposed to be watching that. And they're kind of watching for things. You'll notice a lot of times if someone goes out the door, they'll be right there to kind of make sure that door is very quiet as it closes. Just all those little things that they're watching over. So that why? You and I can worship the Lord and reach up to God without being distracted or having less distractions. And then they help us to have communion. They're the ones that are all preparing all the communion elements on Communion Sunday. They take care of all of that. And they help us to reach around one another. They're here, right here in the sanctuary when you're coming in. And they're part of that kind of greeting team. They're not really the greeters. We're going to talk about them next. But they're kind of that greeter in the sanctuary. You come in and you'll often be greeted, unless they're busy doing things. And oftentimes they have things to do. But if they're there at the time you're coming into to the sanctuary here, they're greeting you, welcoming you into this place, just helping you find your seats. And they're the ones that set up the fellowship hall every Sunday, so that we can be there and just reaching around one another and fellowshipping and taking the whole thing apart again at the end of the service, second service. They help us reach out to others. They're the ones that bring that sign from down there on the corner up back up to the church every week, faithfully taking care of that. That banner that was out there, the ushers put it up. The ushers have taken it down. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And so, you know, those are the things they do. All it takes is two willing hands, you know, to be an usher and a servant's heart and faithfully serving the Lord. Then we have the greeters. Well, the greeters, you know, it sounds like the simplest ministry. And by the way, I should say this. If you're new to the church, it's the best ministry to get into because you will get to meet everybody as they come to the door. And you can say, just like Rita did this morning, it's like, what was your name again? Refresh my name. And you start to remember people as they're coming in and getting to know them. It's really, really the ideal spot to get to know people. But also, the greeters are there for not just to hand bulletins out. They're there trying to be sensitive as you're coming in. Because people come into church in very different ways. Some come in, you're all happy. Some come in, it's kind of like, okay, this is what we do on Sunday morning. And some come in with a very heavy heart. You've experienced some tough things this week, and you're coming in desperate for God, coming in hungry for God. And that greeter is the first person that you're going to meet. And they help you to find the joy, the purpose, the focus of the Lord as you come into the house of the Lord. So reminding you why you're here. You're here to connect with God. You're here because God is going to meet you in this place. And they help us reach around one another by greeting us as we come from our cars into the house of the Lord. And oftentimes you'll notice the greeter is a valuable resource to kind of connect people together. Oh, you must be new here. And maybe you want to meet this person and kind of where you might want to find Sunday school and different things. Lowell. Wow. Praise the Lord. That's quite a testimony. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. And, you know, like I said, you don't think the greeters, I mean, it really is an easy ministry. I mean, come on, you got to get here a little early to church. For some people, that is a challenge. But you come about 15, 20 minutes early, and you just smile and hug people and welcome people and give them bulletins. But it's so important. And having that greeter, like Lowell said, having that greeter that's at the door that's sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because you never know if there's someone coming that really needs the love of Christ in a very personal way, an encouraging way. And they help us reach out to one another, out to others, rather, because when the new person, like Lowell, first time comes in, that's our first and best moment to reach out to people beyond this church family. You know, it's easy just to hug and love the people we know, our friends, but the greeter is there to make sure that everyone, even and especially that first person who comes to this church to visit, knows that they are valuable and they are loved. And we are glad that you are here. And that's such an important ministry. What a blessing that ministry is. Hospitality. We all love hospitality, don't we? Yeah, that's the kitchen ministry. And so they help us reach up to God by providing for us an atmosphere that literally invites us to linger in His presence. Sometimes when we're hungry, we wish the service would get over a little quicker so we could get in there. But it's that thing of saying, you know what? I know that there's more coming. Even when the service is over, it's not all over, because we get to go into that kitchen and we never know what surprises the Lord has for us there through the hospitality ministry. They help us reach around one another by literally enticing us into that kitchen to try to fellowship and connect. We're not really, I mean, we are about food. But the reason we are about food is because of the fellowship that it creates. and we just invite people to stay. We really, my heart as a pastor is not that people come on Sunday morning, service ends, and they zoop right out the door. But my heart is that you will become so comfortable, everyone will become so comfortable in this church family, that you'll just want to stay here, linger, and just savor the presence of the Lord, to be with the people of God. That's how you're going to get to know people, because let's face it, you know, I know that greeting time during the service is sometimes a little longer than I would like it to be, but you can't really get to know anybody in 2 minutes of greeting, and it's mayhem here. And you're not going to get to know the person just by sitting next to a person you don't know. You're going to get to know them by breaking bread together with them and talking to them. And I know it's awkward at first. That's why we have the food, because that breaks that little bit of awkward, you know. Let's face it, we're all, you don't have any different fears than any of us, me included. We all wonder, okay, if I go in there and I go and sit down at a table, all 5 tables will be full. I'm going to be at the 6th one all by myself. Nobody will be sitting next to me. And it's so silly, the fears that the enemy puts inside of our head. But we all feel that way. And so we just, you know, encouraging one another to fellowship and join our hearts together. And they help us to reach out to one another, out to others rather, by literally making those new friends at the table. You don't know. You could be sitting at a table with a first-time visitor. And just like Lowell shared about the greeter ministry, that friendship, that caring, just knowing that you even cared to want to know their name or sit next to them and their first time here, and the fact that you wanted to touch their life. You're reaching out to this community. Because that's a very practical way to reach out to the community. When God brings them literally to us, if we're not embracing them and we're doing this, how tragic would that be? So I praise the Lord that we don't. But those are the ways where, you know, to help us in the hospitality ministry, and those of you that bring the food every week, and those of you that, by the way, that's on a monthly basis. So it's once a month you see that people are bringing food. That's why you never know what you're going to get, because who knows who's on food duty that day, you know, that's bringing whatever they have and whatever they find at the stores and putting it together. You just never know, do you? And so that ministry and the people that are presenting it and then cleaning up afterwards is so vital to the life and the koinonia, the fellowship of this body. Martha ministry. These are the unsung heroes of this church. I mean, I can't tell you how many times Suzette and I both have people during the business week, especially, and even on Sundays and at church events, that come into this church and are blown away at the way this facility is taken care of. And you would think with a small church, actually, that it would be less neat, less immaculate, because, you know, small gets bumped and, you know, is got a lot of use going on everywhere. But it is so immaculate. This church is kept, and you know, it's all volunteer. It's all volunteer. Now, years ago, we had a large church building. This is very small. It's only 4,600 square feet. Everything that we have is 4,600 square feet. That's what our lease is. Well, we used to have a building that was 9,600 square feet, so that's about double. And we had to pay someone to do that, because that's a lot of work. That church building was never kept like this church building. Why? Because there was work put into that one. There's love put into this. The people that are in the Martha ministry are serving in that capacity because they love to clean God's house. And they take great pride in it. And so they help us to reach up to God by faithfully caring for the house of God. So we come in and we don't have to focus on, oh, there's, you know, scuff marks and problems with the walls and there's tears in the seat. And we don't have to focus on anything. In fact, I used to do janitorial. Maybe many people don't know that. Lori and I did janitorial for most of our marriage. I did janitorial for 30 years of my life, okay? So every weekend, on Saturdays, I would go and clean my parents-owned office building. We would go and clean that. And then another building my dad owned, I did a daily. It was every night. So after I did my work, my regular job, I would go there. And especially helped me in ministry, because ministry doesn't pay a lot when you're first getting into ministry. And so, I mean, I've done janitorial for 30 years, okay? And I used to tell people, the way you know good janitorial is when people don't even notice it. It's kind of the same thing with sound. We've paid a lot of attention to the sound ministry today. Why? Because there's been problems. But when there's no problems, sound ministry is invisible to most of us. It's only when there's problems. Same with janitorial. It takes the distractions away. You don't notice it. Why? Because it's spotless. There's nothing to notice. All those windows, every door has a window next to it. Every one of those are clean. It's just amazing how they keep us to where we can focus Jesus. And the church says this building, these people that congregate here, honor Christ. They honor Christ in the way they care for his possessions, what he's given to them. So the Martha ministry helps us to reach around one another by tirelessly being willing to care for the many messes that we make while we're fellowshipping and reaching around one another. Amen? So I'm telling you, George does the vacuuming. That's his, George Flores, that's his ministry. He's here today. Okay. I didn't see you back there. You're behind Cliff hiding on me. I'm going to embarrass him. That's his ministry. He comes and vacuums the church. What a ministry. You can't imagine. That is so blessed, because that's a lot of work. You think vacuuming your house is a lot of work, and he gets around every one of these chairs. He vacuums over the tops of these chairs, because you leave lint and hair and everything else we leave on the tops of these chairs. He takes care of them. He's down. If you spill your coffee in the fellowship hall, George is the one that takes care of your mess. Well, you just start calling him Mom. He's like Mother. He takes care of our messes, right? So but the whole Martha ministry does that. They take care of the messes we make while we're what? Usually while we're fellowshipping, worshiping, that's when we make the biggest messes. And then they help us to reach around one another by providing, like I said before, a church building that is so immaculate that when non-Christians come to this building, they know there's a respect for God because of the way it's kept. There's that presence of respect, and it's just so wonderful. They sense, wow, this is a Christian family that really loves and honors God here. Next is our church leadership. That's our elders and our deacons. And I should probably mention who they are, because some of you don't know. Tom Rzeski is one of our elders, and so is Richard Zeno, and they're usually up here doing ministry, and they're also here to pray for you after the services. And then we only have one deacon right now, and that's Gary North, who's in Sunday school today. He hasn't been in church for 5 weeks because he's a postal service worker, and so this time of the year he's been working Sundays for 5 weeks. This is his first Sunday to be at church. Where is he? In the toddler class, helping out there. What a servant. And that's the thing. The ushers and the elders and the deacons, they are men, and their families are, their wives have to be a team ministry when you're at this, level of commitment in service. They're ready to counsel. They're ready to teach. They're ready to pray for you at any time. They go with me, or they can be extended beyond my reach to the body of Christ. I mean, you are in the hospital. You'll probably get a visit from either me or Tom or Richard and Stardette oftentimes. I mean, Suzette, rather, oftentimes as well. We're out there. We want to be touching you. They're here to counsel with you, pray with you after the services as long as it takes. They're here. We had an extended family member who died. If you're on the prayer chain, you know about Marty Roberts' son. And right away, Marty said, Marty was in contact with me on Christmas Day. Her grandson was killed in a tragic car accident. And so we were texting, and I prayed with her and talked to her on the phone and stuff. And she right away, she said, let Thomas and Suzette know. Because, of course, Marty's very close to Suzette. Right away, wanting them to know. And knowing that even on Christmas Day, they would be there praying for them, caring for them. And they help us to reach around one another by specifically taking care of the many little services that are needed. There are so many little things that have to happen during the church services that are unseen. And the leadership are the ones that do that. They're that, like when everything else fails, they're there to pick up that role, that service, that care. You know, whether it be, you know, putting things back at the end of a women's brunch or whatever it is, they're there. If we're doing an outreach, they're there. They're always there. And so many of you are also. I mean, it's not just them. But you can always count on the leadership. And I love the fact that we have servant leadership in this church, loving to serve. And they help us to reach out to others. The leaders in this church are people that are, they're husbands and wives, they are generous. They're generous with their time, they're generous with their labors of love, but they're also generous with their finances. And they're generous to the point of wanting to go on the many outreaches that we have and serve the Lord on the mission trips and outreach trips through the years. I mean, it's just countless what they've been involved in. Next is our worship, sound, and projection ministry. We kind of put them all under one umbrella because they're all under the worship ministry, because they all kind of work together corporately as a team. And of course, they help us reach up to others, I mean up to God rather, because when we come together on Sunday morning, worship is whatever, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes. But that is so small in comparison to what they have spent in time before we come to worship the Lord. In practices, before the service, they're the first persons in the church with me. And also, they come and practice during the week, too. They're practicing songs on their own, and they're always there. So they're there spending time working on their part of the team and part of the ministry. So why? So that you and I can reach up to God and worship Him unencumbered. Worship Him and focus on Him in love and adoration. They help us reach around one another by literally inviting us into the house of the Lord. I mean, when the worship team is playing and we coming into the house of the Lord, it's like, yes. Why? Because God's inhabiting His praises. We know that His presence is here. We are His people. We are gathering around one another. And they help us to reach out to one another. How? Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm in worship, that's when I feel strengthened. I feel renewed after worship. I feel healed. I feel just shackles and oppression and heaviness just leave me, so that when I do leave here, I'm refreshed and strengthened and free to serve the Lord and live for Christ better in the world outside. Amen? Sunday school teachers. I should put nursery there. I in my mind link them all together. Some people like to divide Sunday school and nursery, but organizationally, they're all under the same team. Whether you're an infant or all the way up to adult age and you're in that Sunday school ministry, you're part of that team. So they help us what? Reach up to God by helping our children grow in wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. They are helping us help our children to know and see and love God. They help us to reach around one another by helping our children and young people to love each other. Sunday school ministry also does something very important that you don't really think about. It brings adults and children together and forming relationship. And some of you know, as Sunday school teachers, that you have developed a relationship with the youth and the children in this church. How? Through Sunday school. You've gotten to know them. They've gotten to know you. You're actually friends with a six-year-old. I mean, how often does that happen unless they're your grandchild? So it's so cool to see that taking place. And so it's that reaching around one another so that when you do bump into one another in the kitchen, you actually know their name and they like you. They're not scared of you looking up at you wondering, are you going to grab my cookie? They help us reach out to others, rather, by helping to disciple our children to go out into the world. Sunday school ministry is not just babysitting kids for, you know, an hour on Sunday school. It's literally discipling them. We have a strategic time to be with our kids, to be able to pour God's word into them so that they're strengthened and developed so that they can go out into the world, out into their neighborhoods, out into their schools, and change them for Christ, but also stand strong. So that when the teacher starts talking about, oh, you just evolved from monkeys. They say, no, that's not true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created every living thing. God created me. So how are they going to confront the lies of the world if we're not teaching them the truth? So we help them to know the truth. They help us to reach out to one another by being able to share Christ. So if our children know the gospel, then they can share the gospel with others. But if they don't know it, how can they share it? Youth teachers, our youth leaders and teachers, they help our youth and help us as a body to reach up to God by modeling a life of worship and teaching of God's word. They help us to reach around one another by helping with activities that they do, with discipleship, with retreats, and helping us reach out to others by providing outreach opportunities, also by sharing, also by training young people to share their faith. Young adult leaders, this is our revival group, ages 18 to 30-ish. They help us to reach up to God by providing a place of worship. Revival is such an amazing group because they provide a place of worship for young people to come and gather together as a community of peers to worship God in a way that they realize it's safe to be a Christian here. It's safe to love God here. There's other people my age that love Jesus. There's other people my age that are passionate about the Lord. Amen? Excuse me. They help us reach around one another by providing all sorts of activities and meetings, helping these young people become part of the church family. They're going on retreat in a couple weeks, helping them, reaching around one another, and helping us reach out to others with their many outreaches, their feeding of the homeless. They've passed out water bottles. They've given out free hot dogs, Bibles, gospel tracts, and offered prayer to anyone at their outreach events. They're just reaching out to others. They love that. Women's ministry. They help us to reach up to God by knowing Him better in His Word. You're going to really know God's Word if you're in either a women's ministry meeting or a men's ministry meeting here at this church. It's all focused on really knowing God through His Word. They help us to reach around one another by providing opportunities to gain deeper relationships with others, praying for one another. These women have this thing called secret sisters a lot of times where you don't know who's praying for you until the end of the whole session. You know, it's a secret. I don't know how many are really secret or surprised, but probably a lot of times they are. They are pretty surprised, okay. And so it's so neat to find out at the end who has been praying for you during that time of the Bible study sessions. And reaching out to others by opportunities for activities and where we can actually involve others in knowing Christ and reaching out to the community. Men's ministry. We got the Iron Men, men's breakfast group on Tuesdays, discipleship groups with small groups of guys meeting different times. They help us reach up to God by providing worship and instruction in godliness, helping us to reach out to around one another, rather, by helping men to get to know one another, to pray with one another, to actually open up our lives a little bit to one another. That's real hard for men. And that is such a blessing in the men's ministry and the different groups and the men's breakfast and stuff, where we actually can get to know one another and feel comfortable with one another. Women, you don't have a hard time with that. Women are pretty, normally, not some women do, but I mean, normally many women are very, you know, social. But us guys, I think we're a lot more insecure than we want to let on. And we tend to kind of wonder if anybody's going to like us, you know, when we go into that meeting. And it's so neat to have a group of guys that that we find out, hey, they really do like me. And reaching out to others by equipping men to be strong in the Lord, to be able to be the head of their family, and to be able to take lead out in the workplace and in the neighborhoods. And if we're not strong in the Lord, how are we able to function in reaching out? There's a lot of ministries going on in this church. That's just the ones going on inside the body. Let me just throw out a few that are going on beyond our church wall by church members. We have a group that meets here once a month called HELP, and it's to help assist families, adults and children, the parents and the kids, in the challenges of special needs and learning disabilities. We have another group, The Well, that Mike and Bea lead. It's a discipleship study. This meets weekly, that that helps people with any addiction problems grow in freedom and become fully committed followers of Christ. In The Well ministry, just this last year, we've had two or three salvations. People that are actually totally unchurched, coming in, getting disciple, hearing the Word of God, just sitting under Mike and worshiping the Lord, and then wanting to come to faith in Christ. Is that the coolest thing? Morning Gate is a new ministry that has begun to minister to widows, both in our church and outside in our church community, and just has a heart to just reach out to women in a time when the only one that can really understand is that one that's walked in that solitary path. And then we have the Calvary Connection. What a blessing that is. You know, we take it for granted. We get that another email from Debbie Hughes. So, but that email connects us to one another. It's a very valuable resource. It's a lot of work, and it's very appreciated. Time doesn't permit me to really detail all the ministries. I'm going to rattle through several. We have people involved in Gideon's. We have people involved in weekly child evangelism Bible studies on public school campuses. We have people going into the prisons ministry. We have people that are out having outreaches to the homeless. We have people on mission trips. We have a verse-by-verse Bible study that meets here every Tuesday night during the year. Well, not every Tuesday night, but at different sessions through the year. We have people that are helping shut-ins and invalids. We have someone that's a big brother. We have couples that are encouraging couples and discipling them to have strong marriages. We have people that are available to help with people that need help with budgeting. We have, obviously, Rich Cristiano that's producing Christian movies that are affecting people all over the United States and the world. We have people involved in global media outreach that's preaching the gospel through the internet. We have people writing books, devotional emails, and blogs that are encouraging people to get saved, to know Jesus. These readings and writings are going out to people that don't even know Christ and some that do know Christ, but they've got God's Word in them. They're encouraging people. People like Gene, who sends out Thank you, Instant Insight. Every day I get one from him. It's just a short little thing that keeps you on track, you know, to know God's truth. Truth is truth. Whether we believe it or not, and a lie is a lie, whether we believe that or not. And just keeping us focused on God and His truth and knowing Him. And then we have Val. She sends out a weekly email to all her employees. We have Terry with her wonderful blog that many of you are involved with and know about that and have read so many of those beautiful writings that she has. And so inspirational, encouraging to us. And then many of you don't know, but you should know, Lorene Garcia just wrote a book, just published the book. It just came out a couple weeks ago. So I am just so blown away by what's happening through the ministry of people in this church. We have missions groups that meet. And I want to save time for a video that I'm going to show you at the end. CBR that reaches out to women in crisis and helps to educate people regarding abortion. This is in our Jerusalem, kind of in our area. Child Evangelism Fellowship that goes out and shares Christ at the public schools. Kathy's House that helps women in crisis pregnancy, not crisis pregnancy, women who have been, well, they could be in crisis pregnancy, but also in any abuse situation. A woman in crisis, that's who they help, any crisis. And their kids, by the way, too. And as far as Judea would be Traditional Values Coalition. Juan Domingo with Horizonte Ministries. Now his son, Jonathan Domingo, is pastoring the church down in Ensenada. Pastor Roberto and his family, all three of his kids, Gezi, Savia, thank you, and Igna, are all, and their husbands and their families, are all involved in ministry. And we're all part of their ministry. Why? Because we are partnering with them, not only in financial support, but also in prayer support and encouragement. Uttermost Parts of the World, Transforming Lives Ministry, is touching Africa. So we're a little tiny church here touching Africa. We're a little tiny church here supporting two Indian pastors that are pastoring that church that we helped build in India. And we help the Yoons now that are over in Thailand through Overseas Missionary Fellowship. Pastoral Training of Asia, Pastor Jim Davis, all the Asian, Philippines, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand. He's all over Asia there and helping to build up pastors and train them. And Campus Crusade for Christ, they are on the front lines. This ministry is so exciting because they are taking the Jesus film to people groups that have never heard the gospel ever. Can you imagine? And so I want to show a video, and we're going to kind of wrap up here, and I have just a couple of closing statements to make after that. But this is the Gamo people. They are just now going to hear the gospel in their own language for the very first time.
So impressed with the reports we heard of different ministries where Jesus film was being shown.
It hit both of us that we needed to fund a language.
And so we signed up for it and did it, and it's been almost 3 years now in the process of getting made and getting over here to show it. Well, Ruth and I were asked to be a part of starting the projector for the first showing of this Jesus film. It was such an honor to be able to do that, just to know that there's people here who have never heard of Jesus, and now they're going to get to see him and hear him talk in their own language.
I was just awestruck by the number of people that were present. Probably we would guesstimate about 4,500 people came to the premiere. Certainly much more than I had ever anticipated.
I was surprised at the crowd. I looked around and saw the multitude of people. It was incredible. They responded because it was in their language, and they were so emotional about it, and it just touched my heart as it did theirs.
They were so focused, they hardly moved. Their eyes were just glued to the screen.
It's just, it just takes your breath away to see the emotion that the people feel, but also the emotion that it brings out in my heart to see it for the first time in this environment.
I thought, you know, God is really speaking to them. They're not watching a movie. They're having an experience with Jesus Christ. He's speaking to their hearts, and they're responding.
They were just moved. You could hear them groaning when things would happen.
You never see it, some of the wailing and the children just sobbing and crying. And it just took my breath away. Just realizing what Jesus and the pain and the suffering that he did for us. Because it's just a little too much to bear.
To see the response was truly unbelievable. To see that they wasted no time initially. Once the first gentleman stepped out, it's as though they all came. That was encouraging. That was just beautiful.
As I was sitting there, I realized that God had just led us to this in such a beautiful way that what is more of a blessing than seeing people come to the Lord, you know? I cannot think of anything better.
I think our part was really small in the overall putting together this film. There's so much work behind the scenes by the local people that I felt the other people ought to be up here being honored for this. It just didn't seem right. But still, it was like, God, I can't believe we're here. You know, you're so good to let us do this.
It really humbled us. We're just one arm, one part of God's plan. And I'm so glad we were there when he told us to do that.
So it's quite an undertaking. This couple is a fairly wealthy couple, probably, but if they're not wealthy, they are definitely sacrificial givers. They put a lot of money into presenting this project. They asked the Jesus Film people for a people group that had never heard the gospel and put up the funds that would be necessary to make that possible in their language. Usually, what happens isn't through a couple, just a team. It's usually through a greater group of people like this church, where we are as a church, part of other churches that are pulling together, doing the same thing. And we've been doing it for years. That's what I mean. Singularly, we can do a little. Collectively, we can do a lot. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. That's what it means to be part of a church family. And so what I've shared with you today is just many of the different little facets that make up Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch. How you can be a part of it, how you are appreciated in your part of it, and how we together are reaching up to God. We're reaching around one another. And we're reaching out to others. Just this little church family. Is that the coolest thing? Let's stand. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what a privilege it is to be part of the body of Christ. the church universal on this planet, but Lord, also collectively into this little family that you gathered together in this community to worship you, to serve you, to love you, to love one another, and to love the lost. Lord, you use us, and you want to use us. Lord, help us, Lord, to know how you want to use us more. Lord, that you would continue to grow us into full and faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we leave today, we leave, Lord, with joy in our hearts, knowing that we have a purpose and a place in the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.